From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening. Today's text is found in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace, not in one grace only, but in all grace. Grow in that root grace, faith. Believe the promises more firmly than you have done. Let faith increase in fullness, constancy, simplicity. Grow also in love. Ask that your love may become extended, more intense, more practical, influencing every thought, word, and deed. Grow likewise in humility. Seek to lie very low and know more of your own nothingness. As you grow downward in humility, seek also to grow upward, having nearer approaches to God in prayer and more intimate fellowship with Jesus. May God the Holy Spirit enable you to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. He who grows not in the knowledge of Jesus refuses to be blessed. To know Him is life eternal, and to advance in the knowledge of Him is to increase in happiness. He who does not long to know more of Christ knows nothing of Him yet. Whoever hath sipped this wine will thirst for more, for although Christ doth satisfy, yet it is such a satisfaction that the appetite is not cloyed, but whetted. If you know the love of Jesus, as the heart panteth for the water brooks, so will you pant for deeper draughts of His love. If you do not desire to know Him better, then you love Him not. For love always cries, nearer, nearer. Absence from Christ is hell, but the presence of Jesus is heaven. Rest not then content without an increasing acquaintance with Jesus. Seek to know more of Him in His divine nature, in His human relationship, in His finished work, in His death, in His resurrection, in His present glorious intercession, and in His future royal advent. Abide hard by the cross, and search the mystery of His wounds. An increase of love to Jesus, and a more perfect apprehension of His love to us, is one of the best tests of growth in grace.
This is my song. is my song of praise. From the golden streets of heaven to the shores of Galilee came a love song for all people, the music of eternity. And from a wooden cross, God sang his song of praise and filled the world with a sound of hope and everlasting praise. This shall be my
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. As he continues this series in the Epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns will bring the concluding portion of a message entitled Dead and Alive. We find the text in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. At the moment of salvation, the old man is looked upon as having died with Christ on the cross. The new man is regarded as having been made alive with Christ at his resurrection. Believers are said to benefit from all that Christ did in his death, as if they had done it themselves. When Paul speaks of the believer as having been baptized with Christ into death, he is referring to the breaking of sin's power in the Christian's life. Similarly, believers participate in Christ's resurrection from the dead. they become partakers of Christ's resurrection life. The power of sin has been destroyed in their lives. Indeed, those who have been redeemed by Christ have an inward necessity to live for Him. Now Dr. Cairns will conclude this message called Dead and Alive.
The resurrection of Christ was inevitable, given who He was, given what He had done in His death. It was impossible that He do anything else but rise from the dead. Now, I want you to get that clearly in your mind, because Paul is now going to draw a tremendously important argument from that. And he's going to say, similarly, it is just as inevitable that a justified person, a believer in Christ, who died unto sin, must rise to walk in newness of life. You see, those who died unto sin are raised by the glory of God. That's a strange expression, is it not? Raised by the glory of God. It's not so strange when you stop to think of it, because here there are some important points, and I want you to get two of them in your mind. Listen, believers partake of all the benefits of Christ's resurrection by the glory of God, just as surely as they partake of the benefits of His death. Now, what is this glory of God? Most commentators agree it's the power of God, gloriously manifested. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. But I think it is also this. It is the power of God manifested to promote and display His glory. And what displays the glory of God like the resurrection of Christ? And in connection with that, like the resurrection of sinners from the dead. Think of Paul's words to the Ephesians. You hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. And he goes on to describe that in time past, they had walked as all sinners walk, in the lusts of the flesh and of the mind, and they were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Then he says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when you were dead in sins, hath quickened you together with Christ. Listen, here's the glory of God. I love how Paul puts it in Ephesians 1. He has a great prayer, the second half of Ephesians chapter 1. I strongly recommend you memorize it. I strongly recommend you get on your knees and you pray through every syllable of it. I strongly recommend that you labor in prayer over Ephesians chapter 1 until that prayer becomes the very expression and then the very experience of your own soul. Paul prays for three great things that they may know. And in verse 19, he comes to pray that ye may know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand, far above all principalities and powers and every name that is named, and He gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Listen, this is the glory of God, and it took Christ, and it set Him right up above all the powers of hell. And He says, listen, believer, that's the power that raised you from the dead. That's the power that gave you faith in Christ. And what does God's glory do to the believer in Christ? It does for him spiritually what it did for Christ physically. It raises you above principalities and powers. You are not the victim of Satan. You are not the victim of demons. You are not the victim of circumstances. You are not the plaything of lust. You are conqueror and more than conqueror. Why? Why? Because when you died in Christ, you also then rose again in him. And there's more even than that. Because listen, that resurrection of Christ, Romans 4:25 tells me, is a declaration of our justification. It is a declaration that God has acquitted us of all guilt and accepted us unto all glory. What does it mean then that when you died to sin, you're raised again in life unto God? I'll tell you, it means you're acquitted and you're accepted. You're living in the exceeding greatness of God's glorious power. So that even now, while you're on earth, while you're here on earth, you have the power to live on earth in the full authority and victory of heaven. I want you to understand that. That's not some super Christianity. That's not some high stratum of experience for an elite. That's Christianity, pure and simple. That's it. You see why it's so important to know the gospel? Because out of this knowledge comes this experience. And even then it's not finished. Because we're planted in the likeness of his death and we're raised in the likeness of his resurrection. You see, at the moment we're not actually physically raised from the dead. As we see as we go on in Romans chapter 6 and chapter 7, this is one of the great problems. I died unto sin, the old self is dead. It's a new man now that lives. But this body still can be an instrument of sin. You see, the body has not yet been raised. It has not yet been glorified. That remains for the future, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8. But it will be raised. Today we have the spiritual experience of resurrection power. We're in the likeness of his resurrection. But there's coming a day of great certainty and of great glory, when we will rise again. Or if we're alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, when we shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and this vile body will be made like unto his glorious body, and so that the complete man, body and soul, will be entirely, absolutely, sinlessly, perfectly like Christ. Oh, we're partakers not only of the benefits of the death, that's glorious, but just as surely the benefits of the resurrection. That means, you know, that because they have such newness of life, believers walk in this world in the light of that union with Christ. You see, what they have in Christ is the new governing principle of believers' lives. You look back in your life, if you're a Christian, there was a time when self ruled. There was a time when the old man was very much the ruling principle. You were in Adam, and that's all there was about it. But now, by faith, you're in Christ. That's a new man. I'm not talking about two natures here. Forget about all that. That's a psychological monstrosity that has been imported into Christian theology, and it trips off the end of our tongue and it just confuses people. I'm talking about the old man's dead. That's you in Adam, gone forever. You're now in Christ. That's the governing principle of a believer's life. You remember what Paul said to Titus in chapter 2, verse 14, concerning Christ, that he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. The word peculiar people means his very own people, his own personal possession. Zealous of good works, eager to do good works. That's why Christ died. And Romans 6 is telling you, there is no failure in the death of Christ. He died, and his death produces what he intended it to produce. And believers are his peculiar people. And they have a zeal to do good. That's the difference. It's not to say they cannot sin. The tragedy is we do sin. And we'll have to deal with that reality in the latter part of Romans 6 and as we go through Romans 7. But there's a big difference. And the big difference is this. Sin is now the usurper. Sin is the intruder. Sin brings with it grief and conviction and unhappiness. It is not our natural element anymore. The mark of the man who died to sin, died to self, and rose again in Christ in newness of life, is that through the merits of Christ and the power of his death and resurrection, he is eager to do good works. That's the mark of him. So here's Paul's third great implication. If you died in Christ, then you have newness of life. You rose again to resurrection in Christ. The final implication, of course, is this, that the proof is conclusive. We've come full circle now. I said what Paul was setting out to argue. So here's the proof. It's conclusive that those who are justified freely by grace can never make free grace an excuse for sin. Anybody who's making the grace of God an excuse for sin has never known the grace of God. Anybody who's making Christianity the cloak for an evil life and excusing it because, well, God's grace will cover it anyway. He has never been justified. Paul is giving the conclusive proof here that justified people will not continue in the old element of sin. They've been delivered from its tyranny. There's a wonderful thought here that I don't have time really to develop too much, but take it with you and think of it. How have we been delivered from the tyranny of sin? How have we been brought out from the reign of sin? By being baptized into Christ's death. Baptized. Do you remember in Matthew 20, verse 22, how the Lord Jesus described his death? When the mother of James and John came and said, you know, let my two sons sit in your right hand and left hand in the kingdom, Jesus looked at them and said, can you drink of the cup that I'm going to drink of? Can you be baptized with the baptism wherewith I am baptized? That baptism was his violent, cruel death. Now, we have been baptized into that death. In other words, we have been violently, if I may use the word, we have been powerfully torn from the realm of sin by the virtue of the death of Christ. And there is no way, without reversing the death of Jesus Christ, there is no way for sin to regain its realm and its reign and its tyranny over the justified soul. It can't have its old place. We have been implanted into Christ. We share all the benefits of his dying, of his rising again, as the branches partake of a vine, as the members of a body partake of the head. Now, in the light of this, ask the question, shall we continue in sin? Shall we? And in verse 1, the emphasis is on the we of all people, shall we continue in sin? And make the excuse that it glorifies the grace of God in forgiving us? No. The answer is plain. Secure in Christ, raised to newness of life in Him, believers have the power to live for God. And not just the power. They have the inward necessity to live for God. For their justification guarantees their sanctification and their victory.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.